Are you someone who tries to drive while distracted by your phone? Someone who props it on the steering wheel or peeks down at it for a glance? Or just scrolls and scrolls? If so, you could be the next person to get into a fender bender, get a ticket, veer off the road, or even cause a crash that kills you or someone else. Enough already. Put the phone away or pay. Paid for by NHTSA.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Here we go now.
With guest host Jim Jackson, live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Listen, DJ Burns is my favorite player right now. I got him. Come on.
Yeah. I text Chris. Probably the first 10 minutes of the first game, I said, DJ Burns is my new favorite player.
He's the best.
Earlier on the show, Steelers defensive tackle Cam Hayward, Purdue men's basketball head coach Matt Painter. Still to come, CBS Sports NFL analyst Charles Davis. And now, sitting in for Rich, Jim Jackson.
Welcome back. Great afternoon of news. Let's reset the show a little bit. Some news earlier in the day. Just small little trade happened. And NFL guy Stephon Diggs over to Houston Texans.
That's crazy.
Spicy.
On top of Embiid is back. Right. We get the rating for the women's game.
Over 12 million.
For the Iowa-LSU matchup. Unbelievable number. Anyway, baseball's hot, but we're 3 weeks from the NFL draft.
3 weeks, man.
And bam, this bombshell trade. Buffalo sends Diggs to Houston.
Well, we were saying that, you know, the last couple of years, it's been some rumors or it's been some talk. It's been some things going back and forth in the media about who's happy, who's not, you know, in Buffalo. Yeah. And would Diggs eventually be traded? And then, boom, it happens. You know, again, I think if you're Buffalo, you're saying, okay, we need to make this move now because we're going into the draft, and this gives us an opportunity to kind of reset, especially at the receiver position, with what's available in this draft.
Deep receiver draft. A lot of talent at receiver in this draft.
And you have a quarterback with the best of yet to come in regards to his career, so you're still building around Josh Allen.
Got to figure Josh Allen entering his prime
now. That's right.
You still got him.
Mm-hmm.
Dalton Kincaid, we got Shakir kind of coming on, but Buffalo's going to look a lot different. They lost a lot of players this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
They decided not to make a coaching change. Mm-hmm. That was kind of one of the things we were speculating as the playoffs were going on. Could they make a move if they lose, you know, jettison Sean McDermott? Nope, sticking with the plan with him.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're interested where they're going to end up. I threw out a poll question earlier, guys, on Twitter. Who's the second best team in the AFC?
Ooh.
Second best, obviously Kansas City, the champs of the champs. Ravens, Texans, Bengals, Bills.
Got to be the Ravens, right?
They're leading at 38%, Ravens.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
DJ, think Ravens second best team? Lamar was MVP last year.
MVP, you know, they were close to. Well, some say they weren't close to winning that game against the Chiefs, but they were in it.
They were in it. Yeah, Houston second, 35%.
Mm-hmm.
Cincinnati, Joe Burrow coming back, 17%, and Buffalo 9%. A lot of people in the comments thought it was interesting. I left the Jets off.
Well, because
I didn't do that on purpose.
You might not have consciously done
I was looking at odds. If you look at the AFC odds, those are the next four teams.
I wonder where Houston would be if you asked that same question if the trade didn't happen.
Like at 7:55 instead of at 8:05?
No, I'm saying, how much he moves the needle.
I bet it would be the same. Maybe not as a higher percentage.
Right.
Maybe they're in the 25% instead of 35%.
Right.
But recency bias, we saw, you know, they won a playoff game, a game they were dogs in, right? A lot of people thought Cleveland was going to win that game.
Mm-hmm.
But
if Stephon Diggs is that's what I'm saying. It's like,
or is Buffalo higher? Buffalo's higher what they still have.
How do we view Houston before this? And how, you know, I know how we view them now, but did we see them as the team that could make that big leap.
I think,
you know what I mean?
Without this trade, uh-huh. And I would have said to you like I did in hour one, Chris, the South. Is this Houston's? I think, you know, this time yesterday would have been like,
yeah, it's Houston. For sure.
Even before the trade. You said
even
Houston,
before the trade,
okay.
Because I feel like we like their trajectory. Mm-hmm. We like what they did last year.
Yep. Add Joe Mixon.
Used their draft picks excellently last year to pick up Stroud and Will Anderson.
Yep.
So I think that, we were still looking at them like, all right, this team is now taking the steps necessary mm-hmm. to becoming like a contender. So now you have someone who you already think is going to be really good, and now you add this Diggs component to it.
Yeah, I always look to my favorite town in the United States of America. Las Vegas.
Where every championship
is. Shut up, Mo Green.
At 8 o'clock, they were 20-1 after the Diggs trade. They dropped to 15-1 to win the Super Bowl. So, the bettors think that this makes them a much more likely champion.
I mean, and that's you're not joking, because early Del Tufo went this morning. Check the odds. You looked at the odds. And I was 6 minutes later.
They changed.
It was changed.
We could have threw some money down.
I want to know.
So are you surprised that Buffalo traded them within the AFC? Yes, no.
Maybe a little bit. I think you're at
the different. I know
it's the South, but I'm just saying.
Away from you.
I mean, they do know that they played Houston this year.
Yeah, right.
They're going to see him again. I think at this point, with a player like him, you're just trying to get the most back.
But what's
your best offer?
Okay, so here's the thing. This is what we were talking about. Generally, for a player, Stephon Diggs, of his caliber, you're thinking about exchange of actual bodies. Someone.
I would have liked to get a player back.
Yeah, exactly. But you got draft picks.
Yeah, you're giving up essentially three players,
right.
Diggs and two draft picks,
uh-huh.
Only getting a draft pick back next year,
even
in 3 weeks.
So what. What does that say in regards to what kind of move they really wanted to make?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because within between the lines is that, hey, look, we just need to move on. Well, if we can get some kind of draft pick for next year, then okay. If we don't get the player we want, okay, but we need to move away from this situation. Is that what they're saying?
Feels like it's just a move on
mm-hmm.
situation. Let's just start over. Yeah. Let's reset our wide receiver group. Gabe Davis gone in free agency. He's in Jacksonville now. Dalton Kincaid building off his awesome rookie year at tight end. More of a receiver than an actual tight mm-hmm. end. But Buffalo's going to have a new look. I mean, they're at 28. Can they move up maybe and get one of these receivers? Or do they sit tight and see who's still falls to them?
Falls on them,
They're at the end of the first round. Going to be interesting to see what they do in a couple weeks. But Diggs is gone.
Do they have what's their second round picks look? Do you have that? Because that'd be interesting too to see kind of what they build out, not just in the first, but in the second.
Let's see, Buffalo in the second. Yeah, they're at 60.
Mm.
So they're 28-60 are their first two picks, the draft. So, let's see. Let's hit the updated mock draft. Let's see who has them taken now. Yeah, Donnie Mitchell. So. The updated Tankathon is one of our favorite mocks.
It's like our Bible right now.
The wide receiver from Texas.
Uh-huh.
They have him at 28.
Yes.
And at 60, a lineman.
Lineman.
I don't know. We'll see. Interesting move.
Yes.
Buffalo's still the AFC East favorite. I don't know. Jets had a good offseason.
They did.
Exactly.
Rodgers coming back. Question marks on his health at 40. Dolphins lost a lot in free agency this offseason, but
also think about what
the Finns
are getting back. Remember, at the end of the year, they lost some good defensive mm-hmm. players.
They're injured, yeah.
So these guys
come back.
Wilkins gone.
Astronaut Chubb, if he's back.
I mean, Pats aren't in the mix, but I'm saying those are kind of the three teams in the AFC East right now.
I mean, the question is the Jets. Aaron. Not only being healthy, but being a year older, does a year off or, help in regards to what he's able to do this year?
Well,
at 40, you never know.
Never know. But it's been a crazy offseason, and I got a top five. Let's go.
Oh. High five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Brockman's.
Top five.
Top two, five. That's amazing.
Come on, Mikey.
Hey, Brock, you're not that cut up, man.
Let's go. I worked out yesterday. A little chest day yesterday. I don't know. Not bad. All
I
right,
thought
the
you
top
had a pizza
five.
Yesterday.
No, I skipped a pizza.
That was me.
Okay.
The top five hell going on moves.
The hell going on.
Of
going
this on. NFL offseason. Number five. The Titans just spending money. Like, what does Rich say? Like a sailor on leave or something? Just spending money. Spending Calvin money. Ridley, they traded for Jarius Sneed and pay him. TJ, they took Tony Pollard from you. The Titans are doing work. They're going after it. They had all the cap room. They had all the money in free agency. And they're spending it. Is Will Levis the guy? That's the question. Number four.
What the hell going on?
The Green Bay Packers. They made a big splash right at the start of free agency. They go get Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, right.
They pay him. They got the new backfield. Jacobs in. Aaron Jones. We love Showtime, Jones. He's out. Josh Jacobs is in to go with Jordan Love. Saw some Jordan Love workout videos with Chase Daniel.
Oh, yeah.
He looks good. He looks good. Young wide receiver group. Green Bay. I think Green Bay's going to win the North next year.
Love takes that next jump?
Love is just leaping.
Okay. All right.
Love is leaping. Okay. Love and Stroud.
Love is in the
quarterbacks
air.
Quarterbacks
are
the
Love
future.
Love is in the air, baby.
All right. Number three.
What the hell going on?
TJ, I know you wanted him, but Saquon goes down I-95 to Philadelphia. That was stunning. Definitely thought he was leaving the Giants.
Yeah.
Think he'd go in division. Philly snags him. I mean, the Eagles, you know, with Jason Kelsey retired, Son Reddick traded. Philly, you worried, TJ? You worried? Wanted Saquon so bad.
Yeah. Let me explain something to you. I'm not worried in the summertime, in the springtime. Talk to me at the end of the summer, beginning of January. Then I'll get a little worried.
January, so we got to circle back by January. What about late December?
I'm usually chill late December.
He's good.
I'm good. It's like once week 19 kicks in.
Week 19.
Number two.
What the hell going on?
We talked to Cam Hayward earlier about it. It's got to be the Steelers quarterback room. They go from Mason Rudolph, Mitch Trubisky, and Kenny Pickett to Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. Let me upgrade. That is an upgrade, people. What are we doing? Look, I think Russ is going to end up being the starter all year, but I wouldn't be shocked if there's a Fields goal line package. You wouldn't mind seeing that.
No, I would not.
Black and gold. Here we go.
But when is the last time the Steelers made this much noise?
They
and
don't
excited?
Do this.
They don't do this.
No, they don't fire a coach midseason.
Never. And they've had three head coaches.
I'm talking about from an offensive coordinator perspective.
Yeah, they just don't make moves.
They just don't make moves like that. Moves. And then now in the offseason,
they pulled a George Costanza.
I'm talking about they really
went for it.
And I'm all for it.
I said this earlier. Like, you've been doing this way for so many years.
Yep.
The fans are upset. They want Tomlin gone, which is crazy.
Come on, man.
Let's maybe try something a little different. Do with George Costanza and do the thing differently.
You want Tomlin gone.
Who are you going to get? Exactly.
I mean, seriously.
That's what we always say. Who are you going to get?
Yeah.
Who are you going to get?
With this 10-8.
They won 10 games with that team. Last year. Kenny Pickett.
Hey, man.
Yeah. I know you love Pickett.
I mean, it's all the way up now, though, for them. Like, I'm interested.
Now, this does put a little bit more pressure, though.
Yeah, but you know what they say about pressure.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Bust a lot of pipes, bro.
It builds diamonds.
Black and gold.
Builds diamonds.
Here we go.
You know, and
I like diamonds, like them big things, too, you know?
Because you want number six of that thing, is what you want.
I want number seven.
Seven.
Six. We're already six Bird Steelers.
We got a lot of Super Bowl rings in this room. Six. Five. Mike, you don't have
Mike, you ain't got nothing.
But I got two against the Patriots. That's all that matters.
Oh, now you're a Giants fan?
Yeah, for
all right, number one.
Okay.
What we got?
Number one.
The hell going on?
Sorry.
It happened 3 hours ago. The Texans trade for Stephon Diggs. Houston is loading up to come after Kansas City in the AFC. It's CJ Stroud. It's Nico Collins. It's Tank Dell. It's Dalton Schultz. It's Stephon Diggs now.
What's going on?
It's Joe Mixon, it's Damian Pierce, it's Will Anderson, it's a jacked Texans. D'Amico, going for it.
You're going for it, man.
I love it.
If you want to make a move,
gotta do it.
And you want to compete, you're talking about you want to win, Don't talk about it, be about
it. Don't talk about it, be about it. Exactly.
You know, and they found the willing seller for what they needed from a timing perspective. Think about that. A willing seller, maybe 3 years, 2 years ago, it wouldn't have happened.
No.
But a willing seller at this time coming off of the year they had.
Yep.
I mean, you're talking about timing impeccable.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, on paper is one thing, but you still got to play the game, right?
You know what that sounds like to me? That sounds like a team that went all in.
All in. Oh, speaking of, Mike, hit it.
No, don't do it.
Hit it.
Don't.
You think we need one more?
Oh.
All right, we'll get one more.
There's one more.
One more. I knew it.
The Cowboys not doing anything. They're terrible. Look at this. The free agents acquired list.
Well, congratulations.
Who are these people?
Hey, listen, I spent a lot of time in Dallas.
Nothing.
I spent a lot of time in Dallas during the glory days. Okay, I'm talking about
you were there.
The White House days.
Oh my! Did you go to the White House?
Excuse me.
Oh my God, TJ! The man went to the White House.
No. You mean in D.C.? Yeah, I went to the one in D.C.
Right.
I went to the one in D.C. a couple times in D.C.
Of course. Yeah.
Did you take Tony with you? Or?
Oh,
too soon.
Good one.
Hey,
good one. But I mean, I understand the frustration. A lot of my friends are Dallas Cowboy fans.
Your new friend is.
Yeah. And being down there in that environment, hey, man, it's a struggle bus sometimes, bro, with that fan base. Yo, it is. Seriously, yeah, man. I mean,
almost 30 years, TJ.
How can you? How many years since the Super Bowl? How many?
29.
It was 20, a different millennium. We don't
okay. And from a valuation perspective, the number one franchise in the world, valuation wise.
Number one.
Boom. That's why I think they don't care about winning Super Bowls anymore. And I said this all. I feel like
it's more of a business.
It's a business thing, like, at this point, because if you really were all in, you would have given up a second round 2025 pick to bring your best D-backs big brother to come play with them, like I thought was going to happen 2 years ago. We're not doing these things. I don't know what my eyes are saying.
Can two things in this case be right at the same time?
Well, what are those two things?
That Jerry Jones, it may be one of the most
shrewd
and successful owners
as far as building
the franchise of it, but you question the player personnel moves and some of the inner workings from a management perspective, then they both be right at the same time.
You absolutely, they both can be right.
I mean, it was kind of a rhetorical question. You know, that's just coming from a Steelers fan. So I just, you know, I got to put my digs in there every time. And I'm friendly with Stephen Jones and the Cowboys, but.
Thought you was my man.
I'm your guy, man.
I thought we was close like Starsky and Hutch. Clutch.
Come on, man.
All right, let's take a break. The great Charles Davis when we return.
CD.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every day when we're on the road, people around us endanger themselves and others by using their phones while driving. They think they're hiding it, but we've all seen them and know exactly who they are. For instance, there's the sneak-a-peeker who darts their eyes between the road and their texts. There's also the got-a-ticketer, looking upset because they just got a ticket for using their phone while driving. And what about the fast scroller, who can't drive 5 minutes without updating their social feeds, or the nightlighter, who has that mysterious glow illuminating the inside of their car after dark. Do any of these sound familiar? If they remind you of yourself or someone you know, rethink your behavior before you find yourself becoming the fender benderer, the veering off the roader, or worst of all, the driver who killed someone. Put the phone away or pay. Paid for by NHTSA.
Picking this trophy up for the first time.
It was the greatest thing. And it really was, Rich. It really was.
Do you remember the circumstances?
Thing. Oh, my God, man. First of all, you got to go back and think about, like, we were 1-15. We were 3-13, 1-15. When you're 3-13 and 1-15 Cleveland Browns, I know you don't think there's any chance that you will ever lay a hold of something like this. So to go from those days to coming in 92 and winning that Super Bowl and actually somebody handing you that trophy, the most incredible thing, most incredible feeling in the world.
Did you ever step in when you heard that Jimmy and Jerry were not doing well, or your station wasn't that in life at that point in time?
I just didn't think anything would happen, Rich. I really didn't. I was like, well, are you joking? You know how hard it is to win Super Bowls, and you have a formula that's working. And Jerry Jones, I'm telling you, that's the one thing. I'll never forget Jerry Jones telling me that when I was negotiating with him. And I was saying, you know, I'll go to Cincinnati. And it was just, I'm just talking, trying to get my monies up. I said, I'll go to Cincinnati. You can get Carl Pickens over here, and let's see what happens. And Jerry said to me then, Jerry said, Michael, you know, when I see you, I see Michael Irvin and the Dallas Cowboys. He said, I kind of see it like Magic Johnson in the Lakers. He said, what is Magic without the Lakers? And what are the Lakers without the Magic? He said, you guys, they belong together, just like you and the Cowboys. He said, Michael, the best way I can tell you, if a bomb hit Valley Ranch today, that's where we practice, and blew everything up, everybody, everything, when the smoke clears, baby, me and you, we going to still be here. So we might as well work this deal out right now. So,
that's what he said to you?
I promise you. I said, this dude is a fool. This dude is a fool. He had me laughing as he was telling me no about my money.
That's why you're in the Hall of Fame together.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by. I got a special guest here coming up. I mean, we go back to 2007, beginning of the Big Ten Network days. He's on the football side. I was on the basketball side. And we were laughing at how many people were in the room as analysts and play-by-play and whatever. But I want to welcome in Charles Davis, CBS analyst, doing his thing, NFL football. But my man, we were just talking about that time was 07. Man, how fast. It was like 17 years ago when we started at the Big Ten Network. Where'd the time go?
I wish I knew, Jimmy. I really wish I knew. And look, you were coming off of your NBA career, having been an outstanding college player. You're in the College Basketball Hall of Fame already. Look, when we got to that room at the Big Ten Network, and I remember looking out there and looking across that expanse of people, it's like going to camp, right? Who's going to be here when it's all said and done? Who's going to be around when it shakes down? And all I thought to myself is, I want to be around. So I hope that I do pretty well at this thing. I mean, they did so many things for us at first. You remember we went bowling?
Yes, yes.
Did the bowling. For the lottery deal. And I think we all broke up into different sports, right? The football guys here, the basketball guys here. And you were one of the top guys coming in. I had been hired as the lead analyst. And it was very interesting because the competitive side comes out in everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was playing nice. But at the same time, everybody wanted to try me because I was the so-called lead analyst. And my career probably didn't stack up to what they thought their careers were.
Yeah.
I had to get them. We were bowling. I had to get them. And I did just so I could make sure I could maintain some semblance of respect. So because it certainly felt like they wanted a piece of it.
See, that's that competitive nature. And see, you know what's interesting? But you had the background coming in. In regard, I had it in regards to going you know, on some shows and talking during the playoffs and doing a radio, but not the actual, you know, sitting down in the analyst chair all the time or doing games. So I was kind of green, but I was learning. You know, the thing that I did, Charles, at the time, I hired a broadcast agent. I mean, yes. Not an agent, a broadcasting coach.
Okay.
To kind of help walk me through the nuances of what the difference was between studio shows and what the difference between doing a game, because I didn't know anything from that perspective. But the competitive nature, we had so many people who were analysts at the time at my position. I'm sitting there trying to figure out, okay, how do I separate myself? How do I do my job? What's going on? And eventually we both kind of weaved our way through it and was able to knock down the competition and kind of have some staying power. But man, it was a crazy time if you think about it.
It was. And I think that what we're talking about, and I hope all of our old colleagues who happen to listen and watch, this isn't us sitting up there going, hey, look what we've done.
No.
We've had some good fortune along the way. We've put the work in. And what you were talking about, Jimmy, when you were coming in, you were learning, you did something that maybe other people might not do. You hired someone to help you, just like you would have a coach help you get better, a trainer help you get your body right, a nutritionist for what you were going to eat so that you could be at your best when you were playing. You took every opportunity to find a way to get better. I tried to do the same thing, but there's such a balance in our jobs because I come at it as a okay college player, right? Didn't make it in the NFL and trying to make it as far as I can broadcasting. Well, coming off the career that you had a resume that spoke to, hey, I need to listen to what this guy has to say, but you're trying to figure out how to say it the way that you want to. So once you figured that part out, to go with your resume as being one of the outstanding players out there, now you mash it all together. Flip over to me. I wasn't one of the outstanding players, so people weren't saying, hey, this, you know, he was All-American. He was, you know, All-Pro. So I've got to get it right from my side from the beginning. It's a mashup. Which way do you come from it? And then, as I said before, you've got to have some good fortune. You've got to have someone who believes in you. And you've got to be with people who respect what you do and give you an opportunity to make your mistakes. Because I made a ton of them.
Right.
Still am.
Yep. Yeah,
but also a chance to get better as we go along and hopefully find our groove. So it's a heck of a balance. It's a heck of a deal. But I'm so happy for you. I don't want to be condescending, but JJ, I am proud of you because you have fashioned yourself into one of the elite broadcasters out there, one of the elite analysts out there. And when you and Brian Anderson come on during the NCAA tournament, it's magic, man.
No, I appreciate it. I enjoy listening to you, too. I learned so much. And I'm a huge football fan, of course. And you know, we were at Big Ten at Fox, and now you're at CBS over there. I'm kind of somewhat CBS TNT when it's, you know, Turner, yeah, when it's down for the tournament. And you said something key about getting better, fashioning, winning. Today was big news in the NFL as I transition over to what happened with the Buffalo-Houston Texans deal. Yeah. In your mind, with Stephon Diggs now making the trek down south a little bit to the AFC South, how does that shift the dynamics of the AFC?
It just makes Houston that much better. They were already getting there, Jimmy, as you well know. The season they had last year, remember, D'Amico Ryans last year, when he started the season as the head coach, he was their fourth head coach in 4 years. Think about that. Four. Three straight starting the season as a brand new head coach, okay? So they had also done a good job drafting that we hadn't really taken note of. Nick Caserio is the GM. Those players were on the roster and getting better. But he galvanized the crew, brought it all together, and oh, yeah, they drafted C.J. Stroud as quarterback.
Right.
And he was exceptional. No matter how you rated him, whether you thought he's the best one coming out, the number two guy coming out, that's what it was. It was him and Bryce Young. However you rated him, it didn't matter. You knew he was a great talent. But to show what he showed as a rookie, I don't know that anyone thought that we were going to see that right out of the gate. And I remember going down there, and the first time we did a Texans game, myself, Ian Eagle, Evan Washburn, and our crew, we were told by multiple people there, by veterans, that C.J. Stroud could have been elected captain of the team after the second day there. They believed in him, felt it that much, and it only kept getting better. Now, Nico Collins, the wide receiver, had a breakout year last year. You get Tank Dell, the exceptional rookie, back after a broken leg. And they're going to add in Stephon Diggs. They're the defending champions of the AFC South. They're going to go in as the prohibitive favorites of the AFC South. But the one thing they must keep in mind, the last two prohibitive favorites, Tennessee, had the division locked up at midseason, blew it, lost the division 2 years ago. Last year, the prohibitive favorite was Jacksonville. Had the division locked up at midseason, blew it, didn't make the playoffs as well. Make sure you run the entire race. But right now, if you're talking about the AFC South, you're talking about Houston, and you're talking about Houston making some big noise in the playoffs because they have that type of a team.
Well, you know, speaking about C.J. Stroud, you talked about the intangibles of his leadership style, his maturity. Is there something else that stood out to you that maybe surprised you, despite you kind of doing your research and watching him and seeing him play on the college level, that he was able to transfer on the pro side?
Jimmy, I think it was when you watched him in college, you didn't see as much of certain things that you would see in other quarterbacks. Were they asking him to do it? Could he do it? Was he capable? The answer turned out to be yes, and it was all there on tape in college, but you might have to look for it a little bit more. The ability to get out of the pocket and not just keep a play alive and throw it downfield, which you saw, but the ability to take off and go and hurt people running the football. If you plugged in his Northwestern tape of his last year at Ohio State, you would see it there. The ability to make those throws and bring people back in comebacks late. Well, you weren't going to see much of that at Ohio State. Excuse me. The Ohio State University. Because they were usually mashing people.
Mm-hmm.
There weren't many times that he had to lead big-time comebacks. We saw that ability. It was on tape. Go see the Georgia game in the college football playoff, but you didn't see much of it. That's what we're seeing. And the interesting part is we're seeing it this year with the same types of questions from his biggest rival, as you guys would call it, that school up north, J.J. McCarthy, because he wasn't asked to do a number of things. They were mashing people, and people wonder if he can do certain things. By the way, it's all there on tape. You just have to go watch it and find it, similar to what we have with C.J. Stroud. And now he expanded it as a rookie, and he's going to take it much farther now as he starts his second season.
You know what's interesting about this trade is this, that you give up Stephon Diggs, you give up a couple draft picks, but you only receive, if you're Buffalo, one in return. Were you surprised that no bodies came along with that or another player, or does this indicate something a little bit different in regards to Buffalo saying, you know, it was just time to move on?
I wasn't very surprised, Jimmy, for this reason. I do believe Buffalo is trying to shed some salary cap numbers, trying to get younger in what they're doing. And the draft picks that, you know, that you get back, you can utilize them and build a younger team and a quote-unquote cheaper team. Now, as soon as I say cheaper, people are like, oh, does that mean they're just trying to – No. Meaning your salary cap isn't taken up by your bigger numbers, because in Buffalo, the salary cap is taken up by who? Josh Allen. Has to be. He's your quarterback. He's going to get that type of number. How can you fashion a team around him with his contract to compete at the highest level a la Kansas City? Right? Mahomes getting the big money, but it's a flexible contract, and they always seem to find the money to get the players that they need to continue to compete. Yep. That's what Buffalo's trying to do as well. Brandon Bean's one of the best GMs out there. So he's figuring this thing out. He knows where he wants to go. All the talk for the last few years about is Stephon Diggs happy or not happy, I think it got confirmed by the trade. We know he wasn't super happy, and Buffalo's ready to try it again. But you're building around Josh Allen, and maybe you don't have the greatest receivers in the world. Didn't we say that about Kansas City the last 2 years?
We did.
Made it work.
Yep.
And they built a defense that could play. Not play with a 14-point lead, but a defense that could shut people down. They've won the last two Super Bowls. I think Buffalo's going to work somewhat in that vein, because right now their top receivers, either Khalil Shakir or recently they got Curtis Samuel. Guess what? They don't have a receiver on the roster that's ever had a 1,000-yard season. It sounds a lot like what Kansas City's dealt with the last 2 years. They found a way. Josh Allen, here's your opportunity, and I think that he'll seize it.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because you're part of the NFL Network's draft coverage coming up this year. So from a receiving, we have your mock draft on here, and at 28, you have who you have right here. I'm trying to look at
Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU.
Exactly. So is this something you already knew? Huh? No, Charles, I know you're insightful. I know down in Tennessee, that great education. But the timing and everything, you got it right there. Brian Thomas, you talked about receiver finding somebody. This trade happens at 28. Here it is. Is this what you're talking about as far as building up in that receiving core, spending money, getting through the draft?
Well, Double J, if I were that smart, you and I would be having a conversation somewhere else on some island somewhere.
See, there you go. There you go.
If I was that smart. No, listen, even before the trade with Stephon Diggs, before trading him out of there, wide receiver was a priority for Buffalo because, remember, Gabe Davis is no longer there.
Right.
He ended up going to Jacksonville. They've been trying to replace Cole Beasley's productivity. His last full season there, his best year, he was second team all pro from the slot. So they've been trying to recreate that. And I put Brian Thomas there because a second receiver to go with Diggs at that time was what you were looking for if you were Buffalo. And you're trying to find a guy who can handle the Buffalo winter and be productive in November, December, January. Big frame kid, plenty of room to grow. Can go to the next level because, remember, he was wide receiver two at LSU behind Malik Nabers, who will probably go in the top 10 picks of the draft. So that's why I had him going. Can that still stick? Of course it can. But less by the time Buffalo gets there, if there's a run on receivers, don't be surprised, Jimmy, if they pivot off of a receiver, if they don't get a guy that they think can be wide receiver one, meaning take over, be the dominant guy from the beginning. If they get there and all those receivers are gone, they could pivot and go to the defensive side of the ball. They need help in the secondary. Go get a corner like Kool-Aid McKinstry out of Alabama and keep building from there. Sean McDermott, by the way, where'd he make his bones? Defensive coordinator,
right.
And he's running his own defense now. They can get that shutdown defense and can continue that. That'll help Josh Allen, that offense, while they have a chance to grow.
Well, we all know, too, as much as we do, as you do, and the experts do, whether it's whatever sport in the draft, is an inexact science. You have high draft on the board and say, you know, these players should translate well into the NFL, NBA, MLB, whatever it may be, but they don't. But then there's always some sleepers. Give me a name or two with your research within the draft that you say, you know what, you need to keep your eye on.
Well, there's a running back out of New Hampshire named Dylan Laube, L-A-U-B-E, that is this little guy who can run it, catch it, the whole deal. Not going to wow you with his speed. He's probably around a mid-4-5 guy. But you plug on tape against the bigger schools they've played, he's catching 14 balls against a Power 5 team and scooting it downfield. He's not going to go in the first round. He's not going to go in the second round. I don't expect him until day three, which is rounds 4 through 7. But I'll be surprised if he makes someone's roster and can really flat out play. All right? That wouldn't surprise me at all. There's a guard at South Dakota State named Garrett Greenfield that when you see him in his uniform and his pads and the way there's like almost a neck roll there, which no one wears anymore. Well, there's an all-pro guard in Cleveland who wears his uniform exactly the same way named Wyatt Teller. And Greenfield has shades of Wyatt Teller to me. South Dakota State, opportunity to pop up and be one of those guys. Okay, so there's a couple there for you. Obviously, we can dig even deeper as we go. There's a corner out of Virginia State, HBCU, named Willie Drew, that got a lot of attention, went to the Senior Bowl, didn't work out at his scheduled pro day, supposed to work out at another time, but he could be one of those day three sleepers that all of a sudden you look up. Everson Walls came out of an HBCU called Grambling. Was not drafted by the Cowboys in early 1980s. You know what he did his first two seasons in the NFL? 9 interceptions, 11 interceptions, all pro first 2 years out of the game, and he wasn't even drafted. So as you pointed out, it's an inexact science. You know what you like. You hope that it translates, and you hope that they hit the right system and find a place to play.
Well, I know what is it. Exact science is your expertise on – kind of weaving your way through the draft, what you do on TV, and also that once all of this is done, my man will be right back on that golf course. Look at that hat you got on right there. I know you're salivating to get out there and enjoy your summer playing. So I appreciate the time, brother. It's always great catching up. The insight has always been, you know, on 100. Love everything else. And that hat, man, can I get somebody, you got the Tennessee on, okay? Shout out
We're
to
so Ch- close, Double J.
Shout out to
congratulations to Purdue. They earned it. But by, Dalton Connect, young man. Hey, almost got it home. Listen, we almost got there.
We got a connection, though. Chucky Webb, Jeremy Lincoln. Sir. Jeremy Lincoln.
Hey, Chuck Webb.
Out of Toledo. I've grew up with him with the Tennessee.
There with Reggie Cobb.
Cobb Webb.
We called it Cobb Webb. Cobb and those Webb. Two bad people in the submission. And Jeremy Lincoln, that's my little brother, okay? And to see him develop, become a Pro Bowl corner, and now still giving back to all those kids out there that he's training day in and day out, I couldn't be more proud of him, and I couldn't be more fortunate that I know him. How lucky am I?
Nah, bro, it goes both ways. And Jeremy speaks highly of you, too. So, listen, this summer, hopefully you're down in Orlando, you know, the big-time golf course. You can invite me down to play, you know. Ivan,
open
pick up and pay for a little water.
Your room is waiting for you. Open invitation rooms waiting for you. You come on down. And by the way, don't call me next Wednesday. I there's a possibility I might be walking the 1-18 at Augusta on practice day. It's just a possibility. I'm not saying I am.
Drop it. I love it, man. Hey, man. Well, enjoy for me, man. Best of luck during
love
the draft, too.
Jay.
Love you, too, brother. All right. Thank you.
Wow.
CD.
He dropped it on that one.
Stunned on you.
Wednesday practice round, part 3 contest. See you later.
Can I say one thing? I've been to Augusta twice, right? And I've been able to walk the course. First time
I went. It's a tough walk, right?
Let me tell you something.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I've heard.
It is a. On TV, you're watching it and you're like, you know, it looks good. It looks beautiful.
But it's really. There's no flat lies.
And I'm going to drop some names. So Chris Carter's a mentor, a good friend of mine. Okay. Ohio State, of course. So. I go one year with him. Hank Haney is Tiger's coach.
Yep.
He and Chris are good friends. So we are walking with Hank Haney as he's following Tiger.
Oh.
Okay? But this is Chris. Chris wants to be at the tee box to see the tee shot, walks to the second shot. Wherever happens, if it's on, oh, that's a par, that's a birdie, go to the next hole. T-box that.
Okay.
I was so sore. Couldn't enjoy my cigar out there because we were just bouncing. Next day, I said, nah, bruh, you bounce around. I'm strategically picking certain holes that I will be at and will enjoy the day that. I mean, I was flat out sore by all the undulations that you don't see on TV. But I will say this about the Masters. The price of food and beverage is very low. And the merchandise is, you know, low compared to other events. Yep. You would think this is a Masters, man. It's a beautiful thing.
I know. I need to go. I've never
you got to get that. There, man.
I want to go so bad.
You got to get there. Well, if I got the hookup, I'll hook you up.
Oh.
We'll be back after the break.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Lakers will be all right. I know you guys, I know, especially you. I know y'all waiting for us to fall, and y'all are just,
By the way, waiting.
In it, basking.
Where have you been the last 6 years?
What have y'all been doing over there in the East without LeBron? Nothing. That's cool.
I mean,
we'll be all right. As long as y'all don't win and we win, I'm good. As long as the Celtics don't win, hey,
you're not doing any winning for a Laker fan. You're not doing any winning either.
Look, man. All right. We'll stay at the house with me then. Chill out. You know what the best part about Godzilla King of the Monsters?
What is it?
We destroy Boston in the movie. We level it. Just level it. I love it. It's so many references. It's Laker fans' dream, Godzilla King of the Monsters.
Oh, my gosh. Dodger fans, too, because obviously the Celtics standing
in
the way.
Yeah, and the Rams.
Patriots and Rams.
Golden Dragon.
Delusional Laker fan is my favorite.
That's cool. What are you guys called? You Celtics.
O'Shea, I'm here for your Boston hate. I'm here for it.
Oh, okay? Thank you.
Speaking of somebody who's from New York City and a diehard Yankee fan, I would take it in liquid form and inject it into my veins. But you really don't have much of a position right now to carp on a Celtic fan as a Laker fan.
Are they winning championships?
No, I know that, but you don't have, like, you're out of position under the boards right now. You're reaching in. You're going over the top. I'm kind of calling the foul right now. And I'm sending
Look.
You know
that's
what I mean?
Fine.
You don't have much of a position.
I am a Los Angelino. I'm a Los Angeles Laker. A non-Laker fan will never see me sweat. I will die with the Golden Army. They will bury me at center court. And I will not let a Bostonian get under my skin.
Well, welcome back. A day full of activities. You know, a few minutes left and we wind it down. And this is the segment where TJ, Chris, you can kind of mic, you can just ask me whatever. I get it off my chest. Yesterday was like incredible.
Well, that was the most important.
I broke your heart.
Because now I know that it didn't go, so now.
I diffused a lot of the. So what you got for me today?
All right, Jim Jackson, toughest player you ever had to guard. In the NBA.
Oh, that's a. I don't know if you heard of this guy, man.
Wait a minute. What did you just say?
I don't know if you heard of this guy. He played.
The audacity to think that we haven't heard of.
No, he's very obscure. You know,
try us.
He's about 6'6", ball head.
Okay.
Played in Chicago.
Oh, Reggie Theus? No, he had hair. No.
Craig Hodges was a little bit shorter. Okay. He had some hair. Yeah, I think his name was
Tony Kukoc.
Michael Jackson. I mean, George.
Is this guy sneakers? Right, let's do this right. Let's assume that Mike is the answer to most any of the. So aside from Michael Jeffrey, who would have been?
First introduction into the league after I held out my rookie year was I played Seattle Supersonics. Okay. Now, my first two games were Houston at home. They just won a championship before with Akeem and everybody.
Okay.
Phoenix with Barkley at home.
Okay.
I went and played Seattle and Ricky Pierce. He put that grown man strength on me. I thought I was pretty strong at the time, right?
He was a little yoked back then.
Oh, I was yoked. Yeah. Man, Ricky Pierce put that country grown man strength on me, hit me in the shoulder and the chest, body. I mean, just Ricky that right there Pierce. Was the introduction, really. At that time, because two guards were like one of the premier positions outside of center. That you needed to kind of build upon in the league. Mm-hmm. And that right there, even though he was older at the time.
Because the two guards back then were.
Well, think about it. Reggie, Clyde, Mitch Richmond, Vernon Maxwell. Okay, you can't discount.
He's as nuts as everyone says, right?
But in a good way.
Okay.
Because Vernon was such a competitor and a really good dude. But I'm talking about he was from Florida. He had that Florida mentality. Mm-hmm. He wasn't no joke, and he was going hard. And he was, and Vernon was wiry strong. If you see Vernon,
right?
Because I can post up a lot of two guard, but Vernon took me a little work to figure it out because Vern had that Southern Florida strength, you know, and he could score with the best of them.
Mm-hmm. He was about that life. Too,
he was about
that.
Oh no, he was about that life.
He was about that life.
Mitch Richmond.
Come on, man.
Sat in the chair
Rock.
Yeah, Rich was here.
I mean, so I was fortunate when I came in to play. Now, J.R. Ryder was in my like, playing against J.R. was, even though we were around, we were the same age, 89 class, but playing against him, at that time, we posted up a lot. Mm-hmm. So we're battling inside, except, you know, Reggie didn't do that. John Starks didn't really post up. So they had to worry about that aspect. Dale Curry, just guarding him off of screens.
Must have been a nightmare.
At the time. I mean, so you had different, you had guys that were powerful you had to play against, and then guys like a Reggie and a Dale that you had to just chase all day.
Make sure your sneakers were laced up.
You
tight.
Know, Dale yeah. Ellis, wiry strong.
Another great shooter.
Wiry strong. And you give him that much space, forget about it.
Yeah. What you got, Chris?
I'm just trying to think. Like, best player we don't talk about?
Best player we don't talk about.
Yeah, because we always have the usual suspects.
Yeah.
You know, like the Jordans.
I forgot to mention the Trail Sprewell when I played against him, too.
Spree. Okay, Spree.
Okay.
Of course.
During that time period that we don't talk about, players that we
like
don't.
From that era, from, you know, 90s.
I would say that we don't. That's a good one, man.
From, yeah, I was trying to think, too.
Sean Elliott.
Okay.
Sean Elliott, bro. Before the knee issue stuff, like in that era, yeah. Sean was at 6'8", he was that new versatility, that versatile guy.
Okay? Shooter
that could put it on the deck a little bit.
Yep.
Another one, Antonio McDice.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
He was going to be, before the injuries, the prototypical power forward.
Yep.
6'9",
athletic, jump out the gym, yeah. Nice little 15-foot, 18-foot jump shot.
He was like Amare before Amare.
Yes, kind of. I mean, he was going to be that prototypical power forward at that time. McDice, yeah, man.
Were you mad that Shaq didn't put your name in the Fushnikin song? Because he mentioned Christian Laettner and Alonzo Mourning, who's the first pick me word is born in. Not a Christian Laettner, not Alonzo Mourning. Yet you were the fourth pick. Were you mad he didn't throw you?
No, I was afterthought, bro. And Shaq and I came out of high school together. McDonald's game, did all of that. And it's funny thing about Shaquille, coming out of high school, you didn't hear about him because he couldn't go to camp.
Oh.
But now all of a sudden it was boom, and he was rapping with Fushnikins.
Yeah. Okay.
But listen, man, it's been a pleasure with me, man.
Yeah. Working with you guys.
I loved every minute of it, and. Drinks on Chris and cigars on me. T-Jack got your Clipper tickets.
Oh, man. Let's go.
Enjoy it. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
We'll see y'all tomorrow.
Every day when we're on the road, people around us endanger themselves and others by using their phones while driving. They think they're hiding it, but we've all seen them and know exactly who they are. For instance, there is the sneak a peeker who darts their eyes between the road and their texts. There's also the got a ticketer looking upset because they just got a ticket for using their phone while driving. And what about the fast scroller who can't drive 5 minutes without updating their social feeds? Or the nightlighter who has that mysterious glow illuminating the inside of their car after dark? Do any of these sound familiar? If they remind you of yourself or someone you know, rethink your behavior before you find yourself becoming the fender benderer, the veering off the roader, or worst of all, the driver who killed someone. Put the phone away or pay. Paid for by NHTSA.